Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Vedant Fashions Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Jagani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Sure. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Axis Capital, it's my pleasure to welcome you all and Vedant Fashions management for today's conference call. We have with us today Mr. Vedant Modi, Chief Marketing Officer, and Mr. Rahul Murarka, Chief Financial Officer. The management will start the call with a brief about the quarter, and we can then close the floor for the Q&A. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Gaurav. Good afternoon and a warm welcome to all the participants. I'm Vedant Modi, Chief Marketing Officer of the company. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the Vedant Fashions Limited quarter two and H1 2023 results. I'm joined by Mr. Rahul Murarka, the Chief Financial Officer of our company. I hope everyone got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as the company's website. Let me take you through the quarter ended and half-yearly performance. We delivered another good quarter. In this quarter, we increased the number of EBOs, which is the dominant channel for the company. As of September 2022, VFL's EBO area stands at 1.34 million sq ft, spanning 626 stores in 244 cities and towns globally. The national EBO footprint tally is at 612 stores spread across 235 cities and towns. In quarter two, we opened net square feet area of around 62,000 sq ft and 23 exclusive brand outlets in India. We have also opened one new international store in the U.S. in Chicago, and we now have 14 international stores spanning across three countries. We're also happy to share that we have a strong and healthy pipeline for new rollouts planned for the remaining part of the financial year. Our overall customer sales growth stands at 73.1% over quarter two of financial year 2020 and 20% over quarter two of financial year 2022. The SSSG growth has been 35.1% over quarter two of financial year 2020, which was pre-COVID levels. If we exclude the stores under renovation, we saw SSSG growth, which stood at about 4.1%, which is including the stores under renovation, and at about 6.7% if we exclude the renovations, which is in comparison to quarter two FY22. In addition to the network expansion, I would like to highlight our marketing and branding campaigns with Mr. Ranveer Singh during the quarter. The Taiyaar Hokar Aaiye campaign was built around savoring the truest essence of a wedding in your favorite Indian attire. The campaign was targeted to connect with the wedding attendees and close family members of bride and groom. The overall idea is to drive a behavioral shift in Indian men to dress up for Indian weddings. In this quarter, we also ran a 360-degree Rakhi campaign, which targeted the non-wedding occasions and the festive wear market. We received a positive response from the market, and this was a good step towards reinforcing Manyavar as a celebration wear brand. Overall, we can see that the fundamentals of the business have been sound, robust, and the company has been encompassing growth. With this, I would now hand over to Mr. Rahul Murarka to take you through the financial performance of our company. Thank you.
Thank you, Vedant. Namaskar and good afternoon, everyone. I would now like to highlight the key financial performance for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2022 based upon the consolidated financial statements. The company has continued to demonstrate strong financial metrics and returns during this period. Starting from H1 of FY23 update, the company reported revenue from operation of 572 crore during H1 of FY23, delivering a strong growth of 59% compared to H1 of FY22. The company continues to report industry-leading gross margin of 67.8% during H1 of FY23 as compared to 66.1% in H1 of FY22. The EBITDA margin was around 49%, and the EBITDA stood at 281 crore during H1 of FY23, with growth of around 60% compared to H1 of FY22. The reported PBT during H1 of FY23 is 228 crore, which has significantly increased by 72% compared to H1 of FY22. The company continued to report best-in-class PAT margin of around 30%, and the profit after tax stood at 170 crore during H1 of FY23, with a significant growth of 73% compared to H1 of FY22. The company had a track record of generating significant cash driven by a healthy cash conversion ratio. Based upon TTM September 22, the company continued to generate high cash conversion ratio of approximately 85%, which has been computed based upon operating cash flow over PAT. With optimization in working capital, we have been able to achieve industry-leading trailing 12-month ROCE of approximately 84% during 12-month period ended September 22. Sale of our customer was around 793 crores during H1 of FY23, with a significant growth of around 68% over H1 of FY22, along with a SSG growth of around 54%. Due to COVID, FY22 was an abnormal year, having impact on performance across all the quarters. Hence, it is relevant to compare our performance with pre-COVID level figures of FY20, basis internal management MIS. Our revenue from operations significantly grew by approximately 70%, and we witnessed significant growth in PAT by approximately 140% in H1 of FY23 over H1 of FY20. Sale of our customer also significantly grew by around 65%, along with a strong SSG growth of around 28% over H1 of FY20. Now coming to Q2 of FY23 performance update. The company has reported revenue from operation of 247 crore in Q2 of FY23, delivering a very strong growth of around 23.5% compared to Q2 of FY22. The company continued to report industry-leading gross margin of around 66.5% during Q2 of FY23 against 65.9% in Q2 of FY22. The EBITDA margin was around 47% and the EBITDA stood at 116 crore during Q2 of FY23 with a growth of around 21% compared to Q2 of FY22. The reported PBT during Q2 of FY23 is 92.5 crore, which has increased by around 30% compared to Q2 of FY22. The company reported best-in-class PAT margin of 28% and the profit after tax stood at 69 crore during Q2 of FY23 with a strong growth of 30% compared to Q2 of FY22. Sale of our customer was around 294 crore during Q2 of FY23 with a growth of over 20% over Q2 of FY22, along with SSG growth of around 4.1%. The SSG growth excluding impact of certain stores under renovation during the period was around 6.7%. Net EBO store area of 62,000 square feet was added in Q2 of FY23 with total presence of 1.34 million as on 30th September 2022. Now I'm comparing our Q2 FY23 performance with pre-COVID level of Q2 of FY20, whose figure has been considered basis internal management MIS. Our revenue from operations significantly grew by around 89% and we witnessed significant growth in PAT by approximately 359% over Q2 of FY20. Our sale of customer also significantly grew by approximately 73% with a strong SSG growth of around 35.1% over Q2 of FY20. Thank you and namaskar everyone. We can now move to the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Nihal from Nuvama. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much and congratulations on the good performance. I had three questions. First was on the quarter, just on the gross margin improvement you've seen. It, I know it's just 60 bits versus YY. Just wanted to understand, is that a mix-driven improvement or some price hikes that you may have taken in the quarter versus the last one?
So our Q2 FY23 gross margin is 66.5% compared to 65.9% which was there in Q2 FY22. So if you see a historical trend of gross margin, we have seen improvement in gross margin due to the efficiencies we have been able to build over the model. So that is the main reason, you know, efficiency is not only in one aspect, but in various aspects we have been improved efficiency, and as a result of it we are seeing improvement in gross margin. But, you know, on a quarter level, it can vary. So it is always better to look at an annual level, which is around 66-67% historically, which we saw.
Sure, thanks, Rahul. The second was that, you know, comparing your SSG of 35% versus the 4% that's on a YY, it gives us a sense, and it was known also that last year there was a bunch up in weddings which would have seen a strong Q2 of last quarter. So is it that the last Q3 also saw a significant bunch up of weddings or say the festive period, which could, you know, potentially have an impact on the YY growth as we're looking at this quarter? Just to understand that better.
So, Nihal, just to answer your question, you know, the relevant way of looking at this would be that when we compare the numbers to FY20 quarter two, we were able to see SSSG growth of almost 35%, and that on a CAGR basis also at 10.5%. So if we look at it that way, the health of the business seems very, very right. And looking at how Q3 goes, given that weddings start at 22nd November, once we start seeing the trend, we will be in a much better position to answer this question in the next earnings call. And for now, all we can say is that quarter two's performance has been very encouraging for us, given the kind of CAGR numbers we've been able to witness based on a pre-COVID level as well.
Absolutely, Vedant. So, you know, if I had to just ask for Q2 also, as you rightly said, that the 35% works out to a CAGR of, say, ballpark 10-11% kind of SSG. And last year was 4%, even if you say not consider the stores which were under renovation. It basically says that Q2 of last year would have seen a very strong performance, and now we are seeing a reasonable performance. So that's what I just want to understand. That. Is that inference right when I'm comparing these two numbers that you've highlighted, or there is something more that I would want to know about?
No, sure. I mean, that's one way to look at it, that last year was really good, and that's why we see numbers like these this year. On the other hand, I would also just like to mention that because we have come out of COVID, there's a large fleet that was under renovation in quarter two, and that's why we also mentioned that if we exclude the stores that were under renovation, the actual SSSG numbers comes to be 6.7%.
Got that. I just have one last question. If it's possible to give any qualitative or quantitative commentary on Mohey, how it has performed, and any metrics in terms of how the business is progressing.
Sure. So in terms of Mohey, the SSSG again has been beating the company level, and we've been seeing very good positive feedback from the customers on the store level. Each and every metric that we track from a retail point of view has been improving, be it conversions, be it productivity. So we are very, very excited about the brand. And the Manyavar Mohey concept, which is of having Mohey in the flagship Manyavar stores, has proven to be a success, and we continue to roll that out. While on the other front, like we discussed in the last earnings call as well, we are also working out on the standalone Mohey concept, which we plan to roll out very, very soon in the coming quarters. And yeah, you will start to see the store going live in the coming quarters, and we are excited about witnessing the results of those and then taking a call on how fast we want to scale the standalone model from that point on.
Just very quickly, one last thing, the SIS count for Mohey and the EBOs, if possible to share that.
So for Mohey, there would be no SIS. That is not something which we do. In terms of overall store count, we would be in the range of 100 plus stores. It would be somewhat about 103 odd stores.
That's very helpful, Vedant. Wish you all the best. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead, sir.
So my question was also on Mohey. So just wanted to understand the optimism that you're having in the brand is when Mohey is selling inside your Manyavar store, I mean side by side or whatever you call it, do you have any test or a pilot where Mohey is a separate standalone store, and what kind of sort of experience you have, or what kind of KPIs does that store kind of generate? Do you have that yet or not?
So Percy, we do have what we call an exclusive brand outlet store of Mohey in Kolkata. However, the catch there is that it's next to a Manyavar store. That's why from a metric point of view, what you're requesting, I don't find it correct to refer to this store. This particular store would only happen once the standalone stores open starting quarter four of the current financial year. So this is what we are working on currently in the pipeline, and you will start to see these stores coming up in quarter four. And that is what we intend to study and how scalable that as a model would be once we have actual data of those stores coming in.
And what are the parameters you would track for these standalone Mohey stores to decide whether they are ramping up properly or not?
So the important measures for the standalone stores would be the most important one, which kind of talks about the scalability of the business, would be productivity. While there are a lot of other supply chain measures which you would take into account, such as inventory turnover ratio and what kind of conversion levels we're able to see at the store level, which all leads to a better productivity in some sense or the other. So the idea is to make sure that our franchisees are getting good ROI and that the business is also profitable if we have good supply chain efficiencies built in. So these would be the kind of ratios we would monitor and track.
And what has changed in the Mohey brand over the last 12 or 18 months to give you more confidence that now we are getting it right?
See, I mean, as a business, we've always been confident, and it's just a result of improved merchandising mix and improved conversion rates at the store level, which has just been a result of better data efficiency and better data management that leads us to having better merchandising at the store level. As we've been explaining across the IPO process and across the earnings call, that our entire supply chain is very tech-driven, and that basically results in the more data we have, the better we can perform at a brand level, which is what we're able to now witness with the Mohey brand as well.
Okay. Second question on your overall store rollout. Can you give me some idea in terms of square footage? What is the percentage addition that you would target every year for the next 2-3 years?
So the way we look at it in the past, that we've been able to grow our retail footprint at a CAGR of about 60-odd%. We're quite confident that we'll continue scaling up our retail footprint at a similar kind of growth levels when we look at it at a CAGR level. So 16% CAGR is what we expect to see over the next 2-3 years.
And what stops you from sort of taking an accelerated path here, that for the next 2-3 years you accelerate your store rollout and thereafter you sort of ratchet it down? Why not front-end it?
So sure, see, it's a matter of both planning the demand and planning the supply chain. So we have to be very, as a business, have to look at all sides of things and only grow stores at a level we're able to supply, number one. And number two, it's also a matter of being very controlled from a cost point of view also. So we want to open stores that are very profitable, and that can only happen when we understand areas better. And that is why we are comfortable saying 16%. Sure, if we can grow faster, we'll try to do that as well.
Right. And last quick question, if I might. Any comments on the competitive landscape and any changes in the competitive landscape that you are witnessing, with some of the large players sort of having big ambitions in the ethnic wear space, wedding space?
So we have access to our own data, and that shows us that the business health is extremely positive. We've been able to grow very well, both from a SSSG and from an overall fleet perspective. And given the kind of industry we operate in, so the overall Indian ethnic wear market is about 1.8 lakh crores, where there is room for definitely more than one player. And the way we see it is that there's a lot of moats in our industry, given that Indian wear takes a lot of time to produce. So demand planning has to be done 6 months in advance. And given the kind of data we've collected over the past 2 decades, we have an advantage on understanding consumer preferences of India, which varies every 50 kilometers given the dynamic cultural nature of our country. And these are the kind of moats that our company enjoys. Furthermore, with the Manyavar brand, it's a brand that has almost become synonymous with the category, given the kind of branding initiatives we've taken over the past decade. So with all of these things said, sure, there is room for more than a player, but we're very confident about our brand continuing to scale up.
Okay, that's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Priyanka Trivedi from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So my first question would be on our international business, if you could give a sense on, you know, how the demand scenario has been in that market and could be the contribution of this business to our overall
sales. Sure. Our international business has been doing really well and has been growing fantastically. The growth has been almost triple digit when we talk about quarter two compared to FY20. So we've been growing about 128% is the growth level compared to financial year 20 quarter two. And so all of these metrics are very positive in terms of international business. While at an overall level, the contribution from our international business is still pretty low. We are still working out on different strategies. How do we convert it into an omni business and take the international business forward from that point on? And multiple new stores are in the pipeline and soon to be rolled out. And franchisees continue to enjoy a very high ROI from an international perspective as well. So, yeah, we are very confident of the international business and see it growing quite rapidly.
Okay. And my...
I'm sorry to interrupt, Ms. Priyanka. Your voice is breaking up, ma'am.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, am I audible? Yeah. So my second question would be on, you know, what has been the price-led growth and the volume-led growth over the pre-COVID and on your basis also?
Sure. So when we see from pre-COVID, so we were able to achieve 35% SSSG level, of which there was a fair balanced mix between volume and ASP. So that is the kind of growth we saw at a company level. That is how the SSSG was derived.
Oh, okay. And lastly, on, you know, just the online share, what has been the share of online business?
So from a share perspective, our online business directly contributes about 3+ odd% to our total revenue. And there are multiple strategies that are in play with our online business. With our new digital initiative project still in the pipeline, we plan to launch it in quarter four. We have partnered with the best of tech companies to create one of its kind omni-channel digital experience. And what we are trying to achieve is that both our online business take off from this digital project, and secondly, we're able to provide a very different experience to our physical consumers as well by planning a digital journey for them, which connects the digital world with the physical world. And we plan to roll out the new experience with the new store design sometime in quarter four.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ankit Kedia from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, a couple of questions from my side. First is on the new advertising campaign. Tayar Hoke Aaiye campaign, how do you see the inventory in the store changing and how has been the initial response? Are we, you know, increasing the non-groom side of the inventory at the store level, and how is the shelf area at the store changing because of that?
Sure, Ankit. So, to answer the first part of the question, so with Tayar Hokar Aaiye is a long-term play for us. So what we're trying to do is drive a behavioral shift in Indian men so that they dress up to Indian weddings and the overall per capita consumption of Indian wear increases as a whole. However, that said, it's not something that would happen in the short term. So we have to keep nudging the consumers with Tayar Hokar Aaiye to actually be able to drive such a shift, which is a long-term play for us. On the other part, which is how does inventory move in the store, the benefit to that is that products like kurta and jackets, they don't actually require so much of a shelf space because they can be stacked. Rather, wedding inventory like a sherwani needs hanging space. So they end up occupying slightly more area. And given the kind of inventory replenishment system we have, given our current fleet, we are able to manage stock very beautifully where big stores are almost replenished 3 to 4 times in a week, and smaller stores are replenished 1 to 3 times in a week.
And the kurtas, are we increasing the lower ASP kurtas, say 1,000 to 1,500 range as well, or we are playing in the 2,000 to 3,000, 4,000 range?
So when we talk about the 1,000 to 1,500 rupee kurtas, the main brand that would cater for that demand would be Manthan. In the Manyavar brand, we aspire for the pricing to start at 2,000, while there are some casual kurtas available below that as well. However, as you mentioned, the range would be 2,000 plus in Manyavar, while Manthan would continue to cater the 800 to 1500 rupee kurta bucket, which also contributes to our online business.
Sure. And my last question is on Tamev. You know, we were expected to launch few EBOs, this year. What is the status on that, and how is the pricing strategy, differential between Manyavar and, because demand for premium Sherwanis and groom is high at the moment. So how do you plan to capture that?
So number one, with Tome, we are absolutely in the pipeline. The two stores have been signed. We are about to, signed off. We are planning how to launch it. The design work has also been done. We were able to bring in a French design agency to design the entire retail experience for Tomev. So everything has come out beautifully. We are super excited about the brand being launched sometime in quarter four. However, given that one of the stores is in Delhi and there are some construction prohibitions by the Delhi government, we will have to see how that store, if we are able to manage to launch it in quarter four, or will that spill over to quarter one. So that is still a question based on the guidelines of the government. Rest, everything is aligned. From a pricing strategy perspective, the company believes in the aspect of perceived value. So we price our products based on how a consumer would perceive it. So from an overall gross margin level, even though it would be slightly lower than Manyavar, we are still very confident of scaling it up to Manyavar levels in the future and at the company level in the future. And overall demand from a Tomei point of view and the conversion rate that we see in the Manyavar store gives us a lot of confidence for the brand.
And one last thing, what is the shop-in-shop number overall for the company for this quarter?
The total shop-in-shop number that we opened this quarter in total?
In total, we have 100 plus shop-in-shops as on 30th September 2022.
And this number was 77 end of quarter four, right?
It was around
75, 80, right? Okay. So bulk of the store opened in this half is shop-in-shop, right? Is that a good assumption to make?
No, so we opened about 17 shop-in-shops, actually 16 shop-in-shops, while we opened 7 exclusive brand outlets in this quarter.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Santosh Kumar from Sivans Holding. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Am I audible?
Hello. Yes.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just have a small question. I just want to understand that, for example, if you see a quarter-on-quarter number, there's a slight decline. I just want to understand that, for example, in general, when there's a quarter-on-quarter improvement or there's a decrease, what are the main reasons which you attribute for? Or if I give this quarter as an example also.
So if I had to explain our business, right, it's not a business to be looked at quarter-on-quarter. Given that our primary market is the wedding wear market currently, so our business moves as the wedding calendar moves in a typical year. So to just give you an example, if we look at historical averages of how our quarterly business moves, so quarter one typically would give us 24% of our business, quarter two 13%, quarter three 37%, and quarter four 26-27%. So that is the typical way our business moves and progresses. So quarter on quarter would not be a right metric to judge our business by. And that is why what we tend to do as a business is look at it from a YOY perspective. And because last year was still, we were coming out of the shadows of COVID, and we were still in shadows of COVID. we are also comparing it with FY20 quarterly numbers.
And furthermore, what Vedant mentioned, like, you know, these are approximate range numbers. It's not, you know, specific that this will be 24 or 13. There can be 2-3% plus minus within quarters. But these are broad ranges which Vedant mentioned.
Okay, okay, got it. And my last question is on the Nabaz brand. So it is mainly concentrated in South India. So what is going on with the brand? Can you just give some light on that?
Sure. So Nabaz is a brand we acquired in 2017. And the brand has been doing very, very well. It has a very strong heritage background and a very strong cultural connect with the consumers of AP and Telangana. And so, yeah, we've been able to witness very good SSSG growth in the brand this quarter. And we continue to, you know, kind of build that brand in those markets. So the strategy is to remain in AP and Telangana with Nabaz and continue its growth in those markets.
Okay, okay. Got it. Thank you so much. I'm doing good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Anush Mukashi from Yadna Academy Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is about this franchisee model we have, right? So essentially, I understand that we operate on 18% and 29% channel margins. So just wanted to understand from you, are you like indifferent in giving franchisee at 18% and 29%, or is it that one of it is more beneficial to you?
So no, actually you're right, we have two models, 18% and 29.5%. So it's not that, you know, one model is more beneficial than another, okay. In 18% model, we are paying the lease rent. And generally it happens wherever we have a strategic location where we want to take the lease. So that is one difference. And 29.5%, the franchisee is having both, is paying the lease as well, lease cost as well. So we have derived the model in such a way that the differential margin between with or without lease cost easily takes care of the you know, incremental lease cost. So it's not about, you know, who is getting more benefited with the different franchise model. It is equally, I would say, computed so that it is beneficial for both the franchisee as well as the franchisor.
Okay. So none of it is like margin accretive. That is what I'm trying to get onto.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't have any impact on the PL or anything like that. It has been made neutral enough based upon our historical trend and experience.
Okay. Great. And so essentially my next question was about just the margins. So these margins are like pretty healthy, and just wanted to understand from you, like, what is causing them to be maybe that high? So is it that the pricing which we are in play, or is it a cost advantage? And if you can just explain us, what is that cost advantage you're having?
Sure. So to put it correctly, it's neither price nor cost to an exact definition. So what we've been able to, or what the company's biggest USP is, it's supply chain technology. So we're able to plan our demand correctly, and we're able to supply just enough. That allows us to never have sold a single product on discount in the Manyavar brand. So from a pricing point of view, we price our products very similar, on a similar multiple on cost as other players and other peers of the industry. Yet because we never sell a product on discount, and there's high demand and there's high demand planning efficiencies, we're able to do away with discount, and that is what leads us to such good margins. So that's the main reason, if I have to put it that way.
Okay, okay, great. And so just last question is about the international business. So in terms of the internationally expanding, then the per capita internationally is higher. So are you able to price the products higher outside as compared to domestic pricing?
Yes. So given the kind of cost the franchisees have to bear outside India, we do a pricing strategy model for each of the country we open, and the pricing changes for the country based on the kind of costs the franchise is going to incur in the country. So yeah, they are definitely higher than Indian prices, and as a result, we are able to maintain franchisee ROI across different countries because Indian wear as a segment is a one-on-one shopping experience. So even in the US, you will find that one fashion advisor would be dealing with one customer, and to deal with those reasons, the price hike is taken.
Okay.
Given that employee expenses are a lot more than India.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's it from my side. And all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Abhishek from Mirai Assets. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hi, Abhishek.
I think we've lost his line. Just allow me a moment. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Gaurav Jazani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So my question, you know, is with regards to, is it better to look at the current quarter performance more on a, you know, sales per square feet metric? Because when we do it as a, on a sales per square feet basis, it seems that, you know, your sales per square feet has increased, you know, 8% YOY, despite the fact that, you know, you had a high base. And also the fact that, you know, you had a large number of store openings which would have not contributed fully. So do you think that would be a right metric in that sense to look at the overall performance?
Sure. So absolutely point taken that, you know, rent, so revenue per square feet, which we call productivity internally, is one of the most important metrics from a retail point of view, and that is what leads to a good profit for the franchisee and for the company overall. And thus those numbers have been very encouraging for us. So we, our current productivity stands at about 13,200, which has significantly grown over the years. And in fact, it's even grown from the FY22 numbers, which stood at about 12,700. So yeah, those numbers are very encouraging for us. And hopefully the idea is that we continues to kind of grow this from here on.
And so my next question, you know, is with regards to, you know, the employee cost. You know, so if we see the employee cost, you know, it has remained kind of flattish on an absolute level on a QOQ basis. So if you can help us out, you know, how we should look at it, given in the context, you know, in the first quarter, there was also some, you know, cut in the management remuneration as well that they voluntarily took. So if you can guide us, you know, how we should look at this number going ahead, what is the guideline here?
So, because the company does not hire employees on the front end, which is on the retail stores, majority of the employee cost you see is all the employees that sit out of the head office and that work at the corporate level. So the major reason, like you mentioned, is because of lowering in director remuneration, which we took in quarter one. In terms of guidance, we don't want to give any particular guidance. However, as the company is moving forward from being a one brand, majorly led by one brand, which is Manyavar, to being a house of brands with five brands internally, we are building up our verticals in a similar sense now. And yeah, we will start to see some of the HR costs from that aspect in the long term. But I don't want to give any particular guidance. And as you know, efficiency is in the DNA, so we'll do as much as we can to keep building on efficiencies in the business.
Sure. You know, one last question from my end is in terms of, you know, we have seen that you have also added five new cities more during the quarter. And, you know, even the city addition has been robust. So if you can, you know, just give us some sense on how you're looking to open the stores across the various tiers of India, and how, if you can give some example, you know, how the metros are performing versus the rural, the tier 3, tier 2 towns kind of performance. If something you can highlight on that front.
Sure. So overall, like you said, yeah, it was, we saw very robust opening in terms of new cities. We entered some tier 2 cities like Barasat and Pondicherry, while the remaining were all tier 3 cities. And these continue to do really well for us. From overall metro versus non-metro growth perspective, when we compare the numbers to FY20, we see that all tiers have grown very well, pretty much equally. Metros being at a slight advantage when compared to FY20. However, when we compare it to COVID impacted years, then we see that the growth from tier 2 and 3 was very high in the COVID impacted years, where we believe that people were staying back in their towns and cities and purchasing in those areas. However, as COVID is normalized and we're out of it, we're seeing that the trend of good share coming out of metros has returned.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks, Vedant. And that's okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for all the encouraging words, and it's always a pleasure interacting with all the analysts, and looking forward to the next quarter and a very happy festive season to all of you. Thank you very much and namaskar.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.